You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Gordon Brown, Kevin O'Malley and Andrew Mount in the studio. It's Catterick, Lingfield and Yarmouth on Wednesday afternoon, and Bath and Kempton will provide the action on Wednesday evening. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Ollie Pimlott. How are you all?
Very good, Mark. Good to see you.
Yeah, and yourself? Good week of racing.
Yeah, outstanding week of racing. We're just talking off air. Probably a little bit too much.
Yeah.
At the weekend. It's going to be hard to keep an eye on it. Certainly the midweek fare is pretty average. We're going to look at four races a little bit later on, but it all kicks off on Thursday. Of course, we've got John Smith's Cup from York. We've got some excellent racing from Newmarket as well. So plenty of stuff this weekend to look forward to.
And Ascot.
Yeah, and Ascot, of course. Yeah. So, yeah, a little bit of overkill. I suppose you've got to revel in it somewhat, but it'd be nice to, you know, the July Cup, it used to be midweek. It would be nice to have some decent midweek racing. We think of that Sandown card, the Brigadier Gerard meeting, which is midweek. It's probably the best meeting we have midweek. It would be nice to have some better racing midweek, wouldn't it?
Yeah. In saying that, we've got Thursday, Friday, good racing from Newmarket there, but, you know, bring it forward a day, as it used to be, and you've got it earlier in the week, and then... It doesn't. I mean, the thing is raised every year now, isn't it? That you've got the John Smith Cup at York, completely overshadowed by the July Cup, when it's one of their big days.
Yeah, and one of the biggest handicaps.
Yeah,
running the country. So we all know the ins and outs and the politics behind it, bigger crowds, etc. But I think if you put decent racing on, we see it with the likes of the Dante meeting and York Seaborn meeting. People will come, but of course that has now been moved to a Saturday, having been a midweek meeting as well. So. It just seems to a little bit of an overload of exceptional action all on Friday and Saturday. Ascot, Newmarket, New York, when possibly we could have had it spaced out a little bit during the week.
And then it brings up the old question as well, why don't we utilise Sunday more? It's all on Saturday. One of those meetings
people
would have been
can still go on a Sunday, can't they? Most people have a day off on a Sunday. Why couldn't we utilise that? Certainly the Irish have plenty of decent racing on a Sunday. Why can't we over here in the UK?
Anyway, let's not get bogged down by the politics of it. Let's talk about some of the racing coming up. The July meeting starts on Thursday. We've got the feature race of the meeting, the July Cup, coming up on Saturday. Twilight Sun heads the market at the moment. They're at 9-2. Magical Memory, 5-1 with Quiet Reflection. 6-1 for Limato. Profitable, 6-1, who was supplemented on Monday. 12-1 for Don't Touch. 14's Air Force Blue. 16's Danzino. 20-1 or bigger prices for the other runners. Interesting comments from Henry Candy, who has the market leader there in Twilight Sun, also has Limato in the race, but he was saying he believes Quiet Reflection should be the market leader.
Yeah, Quiet Reflection won the Commonwealth Cup for Carl Burke and Dougie Costello. That was an exceptional performance, and we don't quite know how good that one is, do we? Bolted up at Haydock, bolted up again in the Commonwealth Cup. I would worry for Twilight Sun for the ground, Mark. He finished fifth from an unfavourable draw on ground quicker than ideal. That was his seasonal return in the Duke of York Stakes. It was pretty quick that day. It's going to be pretty quick with a drying forecast at Newmarket at the weekend. He did show his class when bursting through late to claim the Diamond Jubilee at Royal Ascot, but a number of these reoppose. I suppose arguably Henry Candy's horses weren't in particularly good form when he ran at York.
No.
But even so, the quicker ground might be a little bit of a worry for him then. Reoppose him in the July Cup.
Yeah. I suppose the ground would be similar for Quiet Reflection, really. She'd want a bit of digging the ground, wouldn't she? Ideally, a little bit of cutting the ground. So.
Yeah, I don't think she's quite as ground-dependent, possibly, as Twilight Sun, but ideally, as you say, she would appreciate a little bit of cut. Limato, I think, of the two Candy runners, I would probably go with Limato. He has been significantly backed in recent days for this 6 furlong contest. This is his first race over 6 furlongs since finishing second in last year's Commonwealth Cup. Just had the one start this term, that was back in May when he finished fourth in the Lockinge. That was his first start over a mile that day, and arguably he was ridden to stay and possibly didn't. So back to 6 furlongs here. He's a free horse at home anyway. They were taking a chance, stepping him up to a mile, back over his ideal trip. He is rated £2 higher than Twilight Sun on BHA ratings, and I thought at the price is 6-1 of the two Henry Candy runners, he was possibly the value.
Mm. What did you make of Profitable in there? Obviously, they've paid the money to supplement him. Was a winner at Royal Ascot as well, won the King's Stand, didn't he? So.
Yeah, he did. Clive Cox he's been an absolute revelation, his sprinter this year. Won the Palace House at Newmarket, the Temple Stakes, then, of course, the King's Stand at Royal Ascot. But he hasn't won over 6 furlongs. It was fifth to the July Cup hero Murrayhair in the Commonwealth Cup at last year's Royal Meeting. That was his only previous attempt at the trip. Clive Cox got a good record in the July Cup. He won it with Lethal Force 3 years ago. The drying forecast should suit him to see out the trip. But, you know, they've taken the chance, adding, you know, they paid the £40,000 to supplement him. You'd just be slightly worried that he has only contested the trip once when he finished fifth behind Murrayhair last year. Possibly he could just be a 5 furlong horse, but you pay your money, you take your chance. I don't think there's any problem with paying the £40,000. He's earned them absolute fortune, hasn't he? And why not? Because if he does stay that 6 furlongs, question mark whether he does or not at the minute. I think it was inconclusive, that Commonwealth Cup run last year. But if he does stay the 6 furlongs, it opens up a huge amount of other options for him.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen King's Stand runners in the past, likes of Soul Power, brilliant at 5, not quite so good at 6. So it'll be interesting to see how Profitable gets on. If I ask you for a selection at the moment there, what would you go with?
I'm actually going to go, not left field, but go with the forgotten horse in the field, which is the Diamond Jubilee 4th Magical Memory.
Yeah.
Didn't go right for him at Royal Ascot. Frankie said the ground was a bit sticky, and they gave him, in hindsight, has been quoted as saying he gave him probably a little bit too much to do. He made up a lot of ground very quickly. He flew home. He's only beaten half a length, finishing fourth. Charlie Hill's excellent trainer of sprinters. We saw that with Murrayhair last year. And I think Magical Memory, at the price, is probably a little bit of value.
Yeah, he's not that much bigger, to be fair. He's 5-1 second in the market behind Twilight Sun.
Yeah, I think so. If things had gone right at Ascot, he would have been a little bit closer to Twilight Sun. The ground and possibly a bad trip. I don't think Frankie will give it quite as much to do this time. I think just at the prices, I would probably have Magical Memories joint favourite, perhaps. Perhaps not clear favourite, but joint favourite with Twilight Sun. He's not got too much to overturn that Royal Ascot form.
Let's have a look at the Princess of Wales Stakes as well, Ol. That's one of the big races coming up this week as well. And that's on the Thursday. Exosphere 5-2 at the top of the market there. Second Step 4-1 with the Grey Gatsby. Elite Army 5-1. Last year's winner, Big Orange, is 8. 9-1 for Muntazar. And Battersea is 16-1. There's a couple there at the top of the market, Ol, that have kind of blotted their copybook so far.
Yeah, no more so than Exosphere at Royal Ascot. Went off a short price favourite there, 6-4 favourite. Did Exosphere and only beat Astronarius home, finished 8th of 9 on last occasion for the Hardwick Stakes, in which Sir Michael Stout usually aims. He's really progressive horses at it. He comes back here with to aiming for a bit of redemption, Mark, because he was very impressive when he won the Dunedin at Overbury Jockey Club Stakes. That was a Group 2 at Newmarket. Earlier in the season, he beat Simple Verse and Big Orange, two very good yardsticks on that occasion. Obviously, Jack Hobbs completely bombed out the 8-15 favourite, but you can't take it away. He was impressive that day. He won by 4 lengths. He was quite well backed as well. Obviously, Jack Hobbs took a lot out of the market being the 8-15 favourite, but he was quite well backed. But I think last time, probably just ran no race whatsoever. He was beating 19 lengths. I would just rule that run out. He did look thoroughly progressive. Last season he ended up at in that listed race finishing behind Scottish, but he took a step forward certainly at Newmarket, and you know, he had a BHA rating of 119. I think this looks a pretty below par Princess of Wales Stakes, and even on official ratings he's only got the Grey Gatsby with £3 to find. The Grey Gatsby, should talk about him. I think he's the second favourite, Mark. He just keeps banging his head against the wall, doesn't he? He's just not quite good enough at Group 1 level. He finished 4th in the Prince of Wales Stakes at Royal Ascot behind Western Hymn Found and My Dream, but it was another excellent run. He's probably, if you're an each-way maggot, if Andy Holding was on here, he would argue you'd like one more run if he won 2-3, wouldn't you, ideally? Yeah. But a quarter the odds place 1-2. If he does finish 2nd, you're pretty much getting your money back if you back him each way. And he is the absolute standout. The one where he is he is he going to get beaten by something a little bit less exposed? But just look at his runs last season. He was beaten a short head by Free Eagle in the Princess of Wales Stakes. We all know how Free Eagle went on later in the season. He was second behind Golden Horn in the Coral Eclipse, beaten 3.5 lengths admittedly, but he was well clear of Western Him back in third. All his form from last season stacks up here. Just had the one start in the Prince of Wales, and he showed himself to be arguably as good as ever. He wasn't beaten far at all behind My Dream Boat. So it's a bit of a mug bet, but I think you'd want the place 1, 2, and 3, but he is the yardstick in the field, and if he runs his race, which he usually does, he's £3 clear on BHA ratings. I think the Great Gatsby each way might get a bit of 4-1 on the day, quote the odds.
He's 4-1 now with us.
Yeah, quote the odds, you get your money back.
Yeah.
If you finish your second, I think he's a knock in each way bet, because he always seems to run his race.
All right, good stuff. We've got all that to look forward to later on in the week. Also looking forward to the July stakes as well. We're going to see Maymas, the runner-up in the Coventry, taking on Ardad, who won the Windsor Castle, so I'm quite looking forward to that. But unless there's anything you want to add, should we move on to?
Yeah, I think we're about through.
Yeah, let's get stuck into Wednesday's action then. All's got four racers picked out for us, and we'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, four races then in store on this preview for Wednesday. We're going to start in the 350 at Catterick, and this one is a Class 5 handicap over 7 furlongs. It's for the three-year-olds. We've got a field of 10 in this one. Ol, who do you like in there?
It's pretty tricky stuff to get us started, Mark, this 350 at Catterick. But I suppose the starting point is the top weight here, Baron Bolt for Paul Cole. PJ McDonald takes the ride. He's a course winner, which I think is significant around Catterick. That was in April. He's run pretty well since in defeat. Since then, he's been out the places only once when he was sixth, but he's been second twice and third at Newmarket. That was 12 days ago. I'd argue he just sneaks in off top weight. He's drawn okay 5 of 10. I'd argue you probably want to be a little bit lower, but 5 of 10 is okay. PJ McDonald rides the track well. Most significantly, this son of Caleaf is a course winner. That was in heavy ground in April. Will be a little bit different ground there tomorrow, but I don't think it'll be rattling quick ground. So he's your starting point, Baron Bolt. I'm going to take a chance here, though, on Galesburg. He's at the top weight as well with him. He's drawn in one. Reappeared at Beverley in April. Been a little bit of a mixed bag since, but the handicapper significantly has dropped him down to 75. So he can sneak in here. He's previously been running on marks in the early 80s, 81. He ran off earlier in the season. That was at Goodwood. He's dropped him to 75 now. So he's dropped him £6 in just 3 runs. He ran off 77 at Chester, and he ran off 78 at Sandown. So arguably he's been disappointing last at Sandown. He only beat 2 home at Chester. But he drops into this company for the first time in 3 starts. Back in a grade where I think he's very competitive, I'm going to go with Galesburg. Just at the prices, I think he'll be the one for me.
Galesburg, the selection for Olin in the 350 at Catterick. Let's move on to the 410 at Yarmouth next. This one is a Class 3 handicap over 1 mile and 1 furlong. It's for the three-year-olds and older. We've got a field of 9 in this one. Ollie, and probably could start with Heatstroke here, who's only had the 3 starts. One of them was a winning one on the all-weather at Kempton, and fair enough reappearance at Sandown last time.
Yeah, it was. He'd had 19 months off prior to that run, 4 for 14. He was left with a lot to do that day. Boasts of strongest form on offer, has to be restricted, but the dreaded bounce factor has to be factored in, Mark. 19 months off the track. He has had 41 days since his last run, and he wasn't knocked about, was he, at Sandown on that occasion. Chevalier, the winner there, only beaten 3.25 lengths. He was always towards the rear. He was awkwardly away, and he ran on under a hand ride under Jamie Spencer. I think he's definitely the one to beat here, but the bounce factor does have to come into effect, and he's probably going to be a short price. That was his handicap debut at Sandown. Handicap has not done anything with him since, left him on a mark of 87. But he's got to build on that. So he's going to go off favourite, probably, you'd have thought here. So I'm going to go with Bold Prediction, another of the top weights. He won at Lingfield back in February, 3rd of 11 in the handicap at Chelmsford City. Adam McNamara rode him there. he's back on board here. More significantly, Ed Walker has his team in excellent form. Back on the turf, I thought Bold Prediction, the top weight, would give you a decent run at your money at an each-way price. Bold Prediction, the selection in the 410 at Yarmouth.
Bold Prediction then for all there. Let's move to Bath for their 7 o'clock. This one is a Class 4 handicap. It's over 5 furlongs. It's for 3-year-olds and older. We've got a field of 10 here for this sprint. Which of the speedsters have caught your eye here?
We talked about course form earlier in the day with Catrick Mark, and I think another one with course form to take my eyes, Free to Love here. Both of wins has come at the track. Ran disappointing on a rear appearance, but was runner-up here again last month. Fared best of those ridden prominently. The winner came from the back on that occasion. Drops back to 5 furlongs. She is a prominent runner, this filly, by Equiano. Charlie Hills has his horse in good form. Friend of the show, Steve Drown, rides. Stall 10 would be the slight worry here. Drawn 10 of 10, but Free to Love just absolutely loves this track. I think she's won twice. She was also placed second here on her last start. And at the prices, she's going to be an each way price here. So Free to Love would be the selection for Charlie Hills and Steve Drown.
So it's Free to Love for Ollie then in the 7 o'clock at Bath. And the final race we look at is the 8:15 at Kempton. This is a Class 4 handicap over a mile and 3 furlongs, a field of 9. We'll go to post here. Oh, and I suppose we should start with Petite Jack off the mark at the second time of asking last time, and open to much more improvement.
Yeah, he was unfancied that day, 33-1 when he won that 9-runner maiden at Lingfield. That was over 10 furlongs. Runs over 10 furlongs here today, a mile and 2 the trip. I'm just reluctant to back handicap debutants after a win in a maiden mark, especially in quite a competitive race like this. He is far and away the least exposed in the field, but takes on experienced campaigners, which might just see him caught out off an opening mark of 76. So I'm going to go with Jolly Vitesse here for Carl Burke and Joey Haynes. Not won in a while, 13 runs since his last win. That was back in 2013. 8 to 13 in a handicap at Carlisle last time. But the handicapper really has given this chap a chance here. Back in 2015, he had a rating of 90. Runs off a mark of 77 today. So £13 below. He's never won in a handicap. Only won once. But showed he was in decent heart when second to Demonstration. Second of 7, that was at Haydock. And off a mark of 77, the handicap just put it up. That one looked like it was going to return to form. We all know the form that Carl Burke has his charges in. And he's given him a chance to handicap, as I say. So I'm going to take a chance with one who's had plenty of chances, only won once in his career. But certainly that run at Haydock looked like he was returning to some sort of decent form. So Jolly Vitesse would be a selection in the 8:15 at Kempton.
Jolly Vitesse then, the selection there for all in the 8:15 as usual. Let's just have a little bit of a summary then before you go all, if you'll just spin us through your selections one more time.
3:50 at Catrick, I've gone with Galesburg for Joe Fanning and Mark Johnson. In the 4:10 at Yarmouth, I go with Bold Prediction for Ed Walker and Adam McNamara. In the 7 o'clock at Bath, I go with Free to Love for Charlie Hills and Steve Drown. And in the 8:10 at Kempton, I go with Jolly Vitesse for Carl Burke and Joey Haynes.
Good stuff. Thank you very much, all. Good luck and enjoy on Wednesday.
Thank you, Mark.
There you go. The thoughts of Ollie Pimlott on Wednesday's racing. You'll hear us all live on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. Gordon Brown, Kevin O'Malley and Andrew Mount will be the team in the studio. It's Catrick, Lingfield and Yarmouth on Wednesday afternoon, and it's Bath and Kempton in the evening. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.